Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when you're in ministry and you pastor in the church and you basically have to preach every Sunday back to back sometimes. And sometimes you have a sermon all prepared. I've had it always. Sometimes you don't have a sermon all prepared, you get it last minute. Sometimes you get it on Sunday morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning before you get here. So I was wondering what the Lord wanted me to give this morning, and I didn't have anything until I think it might was yesterday morning. And the Lord gave me the word that He wanted me to give today. And it's a two-part message because I thought I was going to give the other one today, but God wanted me to get this one in preparation for the one for next Sunday. So we're going to go to the Word of God this morning. And the title of the message today is Don't Harden Your Heart. Don't harden your heart. And I'm mostly going to be coming from Hebrews, the third chapter. And then we're going to cover Hebrews, the fourth chapter, on next Sunday. But the word for today is don't harden your heart, or do not harden your heart. And as people of God, we have to learn not to harden our hearts. We need to learn what it is to have a hard heart, how we get a hard heart, how not to get a hard heart. And those are things we need to know. And because as Christians, we don't think our heart, we might not necessarily think that our hearts have been hardened. I mean, we don't think that way. We probably think that a hard heart is for those that are unsaved, those that don't know the Lord. But that's not the case. And we'll see that when we get into what it really means to have a hardened heart. Pharaoh, the Bible says, hardened his heart and wouldn't let God's people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God had to deal with his own people, the Israelites, when they hardened their hearts. So we see, you know, you can harden your own heart, but God can harden the hearts of his enemies for his purpose. He doesn't harden our heart. Jesus had to deal with the hardened hearts of his own disciples. We're going to read about that today. Jesus' disciples had a hardened heart, and he had to deal with that. So it's not just the unsaved that can have a hardened heart, but it's us believers. We can also have a hardened heart, and I'm going to show that to you in the message today. And this message came from the fact that I've been studying the book of Hebrews, and in the book of Hebrews, it warns us not to harden our hearts. So since the book of Hebrews warned us not to harden our hearts, that means what? We have a choice. We can harden our hearts or not harden our hearts. None of us who are children of God wants a hardened heart. But like I said, the hardening of our heart comes from choices we've made. Robert gave us a word the other in January 21st, and he talked about the sower sows the seed, the parable of the sower. And the seed is the word of God in that parable, but the heart, the ground was the people's heart. And when I began to study this, I began to see that every ground where the heart was not prepared, where the heart was not ready, and where the heart did not receive the word of God, didn't receive the seed of the word, it was because the heart was hardened. They didn't understand the word of God because of a hardened heart. And we're going to get to what all that means. And let's go to Mark 6:45. Let's see what happened after the feeding of the 5,000 in the book of Mark. Jesus was preaching and teaching to the people, and it got toward evening time, and the people had been with Jesus all day long. They hadn't eaten, and so he began to tell the disciples to give them some food. And the disciples said, the money we have is not enough to go and buy enough food for all these people. And so then Jesus asked them, what did they have? And there was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I don't know how big a loaf they were, but a loaf of bread can't be very big. And I know a fish ain't all that big. They weren't no gigantic fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men. And I hear people say they don't count the women and the children. In the Bible, they didn't count the women and children. They just counted the men. So he took two fish, five loaves, and fed 5,000 people, and then took up 12 basketfuls of fragments. Took up seven basketfuls of fragments. Now, if you were there with Jesus, or even now, would you say that was a miracle? I mean, ain't no way in the world you can feed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. It had to be a miracle. It just don't happen automatically without a miracle. And let's look at 6:45. This was after the feeding of 5,000. Mark 6:45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. So Jesus sent them away in the boat. He went to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, around 4 o'clock in the morning, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the water, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. Well, they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Isn't it wonderful? Jesus always tells us not to be afraid. He's not trying to make us fear, but he's always saying, "Don't be afraid." The angels are always saying, "Fear not." Mark 6:51. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Why were they marveling? Because the wind ceased. He got in the boat and the wind stopped. Well, they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. What did the word of God say? They just saw a miracle. They just saw Jesus feed 5,000 or more people with two fish and five loaves. But they didn't marvel at that. But when the sea got calm, they marveled and were amazed. And because they marveled and was amazed, Jesus said they had not understood about the loaves. They didn't understand that just like he had authority over the two fish and a loaf to multiply them and make it more, he had authority over nature too. He said that they didn't understand about the loaves because their heart was hardened. We're going to find out more about a hardened heart later on. And it was just, they just left the feeding of the 5,000. But yet they were amazed. They were amazed. What did Jesus expect of them? They should have received a spiritual understanding or revelation about Jesus from the miracle of the loaves, but they didn't. We are expected to receive spiritual understanding and insight from our time with Jesus. The more we get to know him, the more we get to understand him, the more miracles that we see God do, the more things he does in our life. He's expecting us to come to a knowledge and the understanding that if he did this, he can do that. If he did one thing, he can do another. If he took care of me today, then tomorrow I shouldn't be all worried and anxious because if he took care of me tomorrow, he's going to take care of me today. If he brought me through one trouble, he'll bring me through another trouble. And that's what the disciples weren't seeing. The word hardened, as used here, means to make callous, unyielding, or cold in spirit, or what? Just insensitive. Insensitive. The disciples weren't callous or unyielding, and they probably was not cold in spirit. But for some reason, they were insensitive to what was going on spiritually. They didn't understand and see what was going on spiritually when Jesus took the two fish and the five loaves and he fed the 5,000. They just, I don't know. They were insensitive to it being a spiritual thing, an authority thing, that Jesus had authority over the elements, the bread and the fish. And the same way he had authority over that, he had authority over the sea, the elements. Let's go to Hebrews 3:7. Go to Hebrews 3:7. Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Hebrews 3:7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, and you will find that same passage of scripture in Psalms 95:7-11. So the writer of Hebrews was getting this from Psalms 95:7-11, because that was their scripture. The Old Testament was their scripture, because they didn't have Hebrews or Mark, or they didn't have the other ones like we have them now. They hadn't been written yet. Maybe some of them had, but they always referred back to what they had. Let's look at Hebrews 3:8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. I'm going to explain what that means. This verse says we have a choice about hearing, believing, and obeying. Do not harden your heart. If the Bible says do not do something, then it must mean we can not do something. This verse is actually talking about the children of Israel. In Numbers 13 through the 14th chapter and the 38th verse, God told Moses to send out 12 spies. They sent out 12 spies. You can go back and read the story in Numbers 13 when you get a chance. So they sent out 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb was one of the 12. But 10 came back with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. God said, I have given you the land. Go and possess it. I have given you the land. Go and possess it. So they sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. But when the 12 spies got there, they said, well, we saw what you told us there. The land truly was flowing with milk and honey. We had to bring the grapes back. Can you imagine the grapes so big? It takes 2 men to carry them. They're on a stick. It 2 men to carry a cluster of grapes. Them some big grapes, aren't they? And that's what the land was. But they didn't look at that. They look at what God had told them to look at. They looked at, there's the giants in the land. There's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers to them giants. We can't take the land. Now God said, go take the land. I've given you the land. But they didn't believe God. They didn't believe God, so they disobeyed God. They voted not to go. They disregarded Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, we're going to go. We're going to get the land. You know, we can go. We can take it. God said we can take it. We can take it. But they said, no, we can't go up. And the people sided with the 10 spies that had an evil report, and not Joshua and Caleb. That's the story about that. That's what that verse is talking about. Let's look at Hebrews 3:9. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. In Numbers 29 through 32, God was angry with them because they wouldn't go out. They complained against God there in the wilderness. And you know what God told them in those verses? That you said I brought you out here and your little ones to die. You didn't believe me. This is what I'm going to do. Your little ones are going to see the promised land, but none of you are going to see the promised land. Every one of you are going to die from 20 years old on up, will not make it in. But it's your little ones going to make it. Joshua and Caleb, they made it because they gave a good report, not an evil report. They didn't harden their hearts. All this is saying is, the Israelites hardened their hearts against God. They didn't believe him. When we don't believe God, we harden our hearts against him. And we don't believe, and then we disobey what God tells us to do. That gives us a hardened heart. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. Let's look at verse 10, Hebrews 3:10. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. God was angry. God can't get angry. The Bible says, don't fall into the hands of an angry God. You know, he can't get angry. And he was angry with the Israelites. He's not angry with us, but because of Jesus, but he was angry with the Israelites. That was before Jesus. And he said, they go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. The Israelites knew God's acts, but they saw them, but they didn't know God's ways. People can see miracles like the disciples saw the miracles of the two fish and the five loaves. They saw the act of God. They saw the miracle, but they didn't know the ways of God. They didn't know his ways. They didn't know his ways. Knowing God's acts don't keep you from going astray, but knowing his ways will. Intimacy with God is and his word and prayer, meditating on the word, is how we learn his ways. It's how we learn his ways. When Donnie married Kay, y'all for an example, it's a good example though. When Donnie married Kay, he didn't go get him a house on one side of town and she get her a house on the other side of town. Because why? If they had, she would never known his ways. He would never known her ways. When you get married, you got to live with one another every day, walking with each other, talking with each other, helping one each other, learning each other ways. Mary had to do the same thing with James. I had to do the same thing with my husband. You stay with them long enough, you'll sure know their ways, won't you? And they'll know your ways. We'll get to know one another's ways. And the children of Israel, Moses knew the ways of God because Moses spent time with God. The children of Israel, all they were worried about was getting the food, getting the manna, getting the water. They weren't interested in knowing God. God had them sanctify themselves one time and said, I'm going to meet you. Come sanctify yourself and come. I'm going to meet with you and talk with you. And Moses had been talking to God all this time, going up there, staying there a long time, talking with God in his presence. They couldn't even spend one, I guess not even no time in God's presence. God started talking. Like, no, 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 Moses. No, no, no. We don't want to hear God. They were scared. They didn't want to know his ways. They didn't want to know his ways. Suppose when I got married to my husband, I said, no, 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 Irvin, I don't want to talk to you. You don't say, I don't want to talk to you. I would never know my husband. I would have never known his ways. You got to be intimate with somebody. They had to have this intimacy with God to get to know his ways. We got to have that intimacy with God to get to know his ways. We got to spend time with the Lord to get to know his ways. In the word of God and in prayer. God wants us to get to know him. And if we get to know his ways, we'll be less apt to harden our hearts. We'll be less apt to be disobedient and not believe him. We got to learn his ways by getting to know him. Let's look at Hebrews 3:11. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. God's rest means we have ceased from our own works by putting our faith and trust in him. We're going to talk about it a whole lot next Sunday, about the rest of God. God's rest means we have ceased from our own works by putting our faith and trust in him. Some of us are hard workers. And when you're a hard worker, you need to learn how not to work. Because God what has already worked. He's already done it. So we just have to receive what he's already done. And then Hebrews 3:12 gives us this warning. He gave us the children of Israel as an example, but then it warns us in Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Watch, in other words, let this not be in you. Disobedience because of unbelief will harden our hearts. We're born again, and disobedience and unbelief will not cause us not to be saved, but it will harden your heart. And we're going to talk about what a hard heart will do to you later, but it will harden your heart. The more you disobey God, the harder your hearts get. The more you don't believe him, the harder your heart gets. All disobedient will harden our hearts. The Israelites failed to believe in his goodness, even though it was continuously shown to them. They failed to believe the goodness of God. They failed to believe the word of God. God constantly kept his word. He delivered them from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea and they came across the Red Sea. He killed Pharaoh's army. God, he had a cloud to go with them by day and fire by night. But they failed to see his goodness. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. If we see his goodness and don't forget his goodness to us, we will be quick to repent. But they failed to see his goodness. They didn't see his goodness. They failed to believe in his goodness, even though it was continually shown to them. Luke 6:45 lets us know the what? Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. Now, them Israelites, they should have closed their mouths. I won't say they should have shut their mouths. Sometimes it's good to what? Be quiet. Close your mouth, because if you open that mouth, some unbelief and disobedience gonna come out. You're gonna say something you ain't got no business saying. And you're gonna speak negative over your life. You're gonna speak curses over your own life instead of blessing. And that's what they did. They out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so they were speaking against God. They had forgot his goodness. And they never saw the promised land. They never entered the land of rest because of that. They sure did. Hebrews 3:14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see, it's not just good enough to start and start out. But the Bible says we got to what? Hold our confidence steadfast until the end. Steadfast until the end. Once you get hold of the word of God, once God show you a revelation, once you get something from the scripture, once the word of God has enlightened you, once God has taken his word and touched your heart with something, hold fast to it. Don't let your confidence in what God has said go. God has spoken different things to me, given me different scriptures, and I rehearse those scriptures sometimes. Over and over again, I go back over what God has spoken and rehearse it to myself. Hold fast. The beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Well, we have what? Become partakers of Christ if we hold fast. And that partakers of Christ means in Christ, we've been given all these promises. I'm going to read it. It's in 2 Peter 1:3-4. He's given us all these precious promises. And through these precious promises, we are what? Made partakers of his divine nature. And to be a partaker means we become a sharer or a partner of Christ in his divine nature. But you got to hold fast to it. You got to keep your confidence in it in order to be a partaker of the divine nature. It's in Christ. It's there for us. It's in us. In our spirit, man, it's in us. And we got to partake of it. You know what? Partake is like, Kay makes this wonderful, beautiful chocolate cake. She sits it on the table. And we sit down with a knife and fork. And we cut us a slice. And we put it on our plate and get us a fork. And we partake. We partake. We partake. And so that chocolate cake, when we partake of it and eat it, it becomes part of us. It goes on the inside of us. And so that's the way it is with Christ. He wants to be partakers of his divine nature by the promises. Let me read that. 2 Peter 1:3-4. I'm going to read that. 2 Peter 1:3-4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So God has already given us by his divine power all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through, but it's through what? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So it's through God, through Christ, through the knowledge of him, the more we get to know him. Remember, knowing his ways, the more we get to know him, more intimacy we have to him, with him, then we'll be able to partake of those things, that life and that godliness. Because the fourth verse is, by which have been given to us, you and me, exceedingly great and precious promises. God has given us exceedingly great and promises. Some of them we know. You might not know all of them, but the more you know, the more you can partake of. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The more you know, just like the chocolate cake, if you don't know the chocolate cake's on the table, you can't go sit down and partake of it. But the more you know of the word of God, the more you know of the promises that belong to you, exceedingly, the Bible says, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. We might actually partake of the divine nature of God. God's nature will become our nature in action and in deed. And the Bible says here we have escaped what? The corruption is in the world. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 3:15. He warns us again. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He called the Israelites and what they did rebellion. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your heart. How? By believing God. If God said it, believe it. If he said do it, do it. Be obedient. Verse 16 said, for who, talking about the Israelites, the rebel in the wilderness, for who having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? Remember, I told you God said they wouldn't see the promised land from 20 years on up. They were going to die before they got there. God was angry with them because of their unbelief. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. Because of their unbelief, they did not obey. And Hebrews is saying that not obeying God and a hardness of heart are the same. They hardened their heart because they didn't obey. They didn't obey because they didn't believe. And they didn't believe because what? They failed to see the goodness of God. They failed to see how good he was. They failed to see that, okay, God is good. God didn't bring me out here to kill me in the wilderness. If God said he's going to take me to the promised land, he's going to take me to the promised land. I just have to believe it. Caleb and Joshua believed it, but the other 10 spies and the Israelites people did not believe it. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe God. And verse 19 says this, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter the physical rest of the promised land was their physical place of rest. We have a spiritual place of rest now that we're going to talk about next week. But their rest was a physical place of rest. But they couldn't enter the promised land because of what? Their unbelief. They couldn't enter because of their unbelief. They chose not to believe the goodness of God. They chose to harden their own hearts toward him. Okay, let's look closely at now at what a hard heart is. We've got some examples from the Bible. So let's look at what a hard heart is. Heart number one, hard hearts keeps us from perceiving spiritual truth. When your heart is hard, you can't perceive or understand spiritual truth. A hard-hearted person, it's hard for them to understand and perceive spiritual truth. That is why everyone in the church service will hear exactly the same message. Some will receive while others won't. Some will receive while others won't. It's not the word that's the variable that Robert taught us the other week in the parable of the seed and the sower. It's not the word that's the variable, but rather the condition of the heart. It's the condition of the heart. Hardened heart stops spiritual perception. And that's, we can see an example of that in Exodus with Pharaoh. And we see an example in Matthew 13, 18 to 23 with the disciples. So hard hearts keeps us from receiving spiritual truth. You hear it, you read it, but you're not able to perceive it. You're not able to understand it and receive it because your heart is hard. Your heart is hard toward the things of God, toward spiritual things. We're going to talk about how to deal with that hard heart in a little bit. Number two, hard heart stops us from understanding spiritual truth. Not only does it stop you from perceiving it or seeing it, but it also stops you from understanding spiritual truths. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the things, spiritual things, are not natural man cannot understand spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, because they're spiritually discerned. When we don't understand God's word, Satan will find no resistance when he comes to steal it away. If you have a hard heart, you don't understand the spiritual truth you just heard, then that's a good way for the enemy to come and steal what you already have. Matthew 13:19, about the parable of the sower. He can steal it. If you don't understand it, he'll come and steal it. Number three, hard hearts keeps us from remembering. And I didn't realize this, but this is so true. I remember working with somebody that had a hard time remembering. I could remember the good things God did for her because she told me, but she couldn't remember for some reason or another because she had a hard heart. So hard hearts keeps us from remembering. And not only her, but all of us, hard hearts will keep us from remembering. They will keep us from remembering. This isn't to say we can't recall facts or scriptures. The disciples in Mark 8:19-20, they remember the facts about the feeding of the 5,000, but they had forgotten any spiritual lesson they learned. They didn't forget that Jesus took two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000, but whatever spiritual lesson they learned, they forgot it when they got on the water and the waves started coming up. They forgot what they had learned. Y'all ever been in school and forgot what you learned? Oh my goodness, you try to learn and you take a test, then you're trying to remember what you need to remember to pass that test. And you know what I found out to be true? It is so true now, the same way in the spiritual realm. When I actually studied to understand, then I could pass the test. But if you just try to memorize something just long enough to pass the test, that ain't doing you a bit of good. You ain't understanding nothing. And I'm going to tell y'all what happened to me. True story. I was in school. I didn't like math. So when I took algebra, I passed algebra, but I didn't know nothing about algebra. I faked it. Then when I got in college and I had to take college algebra, I was in trouble. I had to pray my way through that just to get a C. Because what? If you don't put no time and effort in understanding something, if you just trying to quickly go through something, you're not retaining anything. You're not getting any understanding. And then when it comes time you really need it to remember, you ain't going to remember. You ain't going to remember because you didn't spend no time with it. So the disciples, whatever spiritual lesson they learned when they were supposed to learn, they didn't learn it, and they forgot it. Likewise, some of us can quote scriptures or remember what the sermon was about, but we can't perceive the spiritual life in them or retain what we did perceive because of hardness of heart. You ever heard people tell themselves, what did the preacher preach about? And they'll rattle off something that the preacher said, but they don't tell you anything about, oh, the word of God touched my heart. And I saw this and God showed me this. When they start talking like that, they got something. When they just start rattling off scriptures, or rather not what the sermon was about, they didn't really get anything. And you know what? If they tell you right then, They'll be able to tell you something. Me, because I was the same way. And but if you wait about a week, they're gonna forget about that. they're not even gonna remember that part. I've been there. Won't even forget that part. But when you hear something and your heart is not hard, and you receive that word and get it on the inside of you, then you got it. You're gonna remember it because your heart is not hard. A hardened heart toward God produces spiritual retardation. This is an inability to understand and retain spiritual truth. So this hard heart business is important, isn't it? It ain't nothing to play with. Having a hard heart is nothing to play with. We don't want a hard heart. We don't want a hard heart. How do we keep our hearts sensitive to God? In order to not have a hard heart, we have to keep our heart what? Sensitive to God. We got to keep it sensitive to God. That's up to us. We got to keep our hearts sensitive to God in order not to have a hard heart. When we are in faith, all things are possible. When we're in faith, all things are possible. What we consider, our hearts become sensitive to. What we consider, our hearts come sensitive to. It's like they go back to an example with hearing the word of God in a sermon or in a service. You're hearing the word. If you are considering what's being said, then that would cause your heart to become sensitive to the word of God. But if you're not considering it, we could be sitting in church daydreaming. Oh, I got to go home and cook dinner. I want to lay down on my couch. Today it might be, I want to watch the Super Bowl game. I had to throw that one in, Donna. Oh, I want to watch my favorite movie or whatever. You know, if we're not considering what we're hearing, then our hearts will become hardened. But if we consider it, then our hearts won't be hardened. And we consider the word of God. Consider the word of God when you read the same thing, you'd be sitting down reading and studying the word of God. If you're not considering the word of God and you're not thinking about it, then it's not going to stick with you. But if you consider the word of God, I was listening to a teaching that Andrew was doing, him and Carrie Pickett, her husband, and they were saying that you need to meditate the word of God, you know, think about it, go over and over it, you know. And that's the best way to remember something. It is. Because if you meditate on something, when you lay down at night, I've had this happen to me. When you lay down at night, it's gonna your spirit man is talking to you and telling it to you. And you're hearing it over and over. And the same way with a song, you know, I went to bed and you singing a song, that song's going over and over in your mind. Donna Ray said the goodness of God has been, you know, he's been hearing that. And it's probably the more you hear it, the more it goes over in his mind. And the more you hear that, the more you consider it, it gets in you. It actually gets in you. And this is the way the Lord made us. He made us cooperate with this law and focus on the things of God to keep our hearts soft. If you focus on the things of God, it will keep your heart soft and sensitive to the things of God. And I also learned this. Whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to be considering. It can be the word of God. It can be something else. It can be a TV program. It can be binging TV programs, one after another, and I've done that. I have to keep myself from that, especially like I told y'all last week about those episode things. So we focus on the things of God that will keep our hearts soft and sensitive. Preoccupation with everyday life will harden our hearts to the Lord. If you preoccupy yourself with all your problems, all the things you got to do, all the things you need to got to do, all your stuff on your job, that's going to harden your heart. Don't preoccupy yourself with the everyday life thing. You got to do them, and that's fine. But while you're doing them, occupy your time and allow God to be in the midst of it. Think about a scripture. Ask God to help you do your job. Ask God to help you cook a meal. You know, allow God to be in on that and thank him. And so while you're doing whatever you need to do, your heart is going to be sensitive to him. We have to make a deliberate effort to look beyond our daily responsibilities and keep our minds and hearts focused on the things of the Lord. It is possible to meditate on the word of God as we go about our day. Because what? 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we must walk by faith and not by sight. We want our hearts to stay sensitive to God. We don't want a hardened heart. Therefore, we need to what? Obey God quickly. You know, if you don't understand something, you know, tell God you don't understand it. Be quick to obey and do what God tells you to do, not quick to disobey. I've been both places, quick to disobey because I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. You know, I thought more about my own self than I thought about the will of God. But we need to be sensitive to the will of God and to the word of God by what? Quickly obeying and remembering. Don't forget God's goodness like the children of Israel did. Remember the goodness of God. Remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has said to you. Remember what God has promised you. Rehearse it to yourself. Talk it to yourself. Say it over and over again. Get to in front of the mirror if you have to and say, Ernestine, you know what God said. God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You know, do that so you can be sensitive. The disciples were not God haters, but they had become so sensitive to the natural world and its limitations that they were overwhelmed to see Jesus supersede these laws. Therefore, they had a hardened heart. We see in this case, a hardened heart was simply being more sensitive to or dominated by natural thinking than by supernatural thinking. If we use this Bible definition of what a hardened heart is, then all of us have areas where we are what? Hardened or insensitive to God. All of us. All of us have areas where we're insensitive to God. And we need to get in the Word of God and allow God to make us sensitive in that area to the spirit realm, to the Word of God. We allow the things in this natural realm to limit us. We allow it to limit our thinking. I remember when I allowed I allowed my parents' past and what I did, I allowed all that to limit my thinking when it came to prosperity. I had a limited view of prosperity, and God had to show me that and get me out of that. So we got to get out of this limitation that we have allowed ourselves to learn in this world to where we're sensitive, more sensitive to the things of God, the spiritual things of God, than we are this natural limitation out here. Sure, there are a lot of things out here that are limited. But with God, all things are possible. With him, all things are possible. So we got to stop limiting ourselves in that area. In my conclusion, this is the reason that people today who know what the word says still don't see it work for them. Do you have areas in your life where you know what the word says, but you're not seeing it work for you? I do. It's because we're not sensitive. We're more focused or on the limitations than we are sensitive to the miracles and the word of God. We got to become sensitive to God in that area. Sensitive to the word of God in that area. Sensitive to the spiritual in that area. They are more sensitive to fear and doubt. Limitations and limitations they are to the truth of God's words. Simply because what? They have thought more on things that minister fear and doubt. We've thought more on things that limit us than the unlimited. And we got to stop doing that. We got to become sensitive to the things that the unlimited spiritual things that we have, the unlimited authority we have, the unlimited promises and blessings that we have, than on this worldly limitations. We can actually harden our hearts to doubt by considering only God's word. Have you got to the place you only consider God's word? Where we need to get to the place where we only consider the word of God. We don't consider anything else but his word. And that's possible. It's a goal we can attain. We can become just as sensitive to God, just as sensitive to God and faith as we used to be to doubt and unbelief or limitations. We limit our own self. I limited myself. I had to get away from the fact of limiting myself. All of us do. Because we learn limitations from the world. And we got to get rid of those limitations and consider what? Consider the spiritual. Consider what God says about us. Consider who we are in Christ. Consider what we have in Christ. So do not harden your heart. Believe the goodness of God. Believe the word of God and obey the word of God, because you know he's good and his desires just good for you. And I want to say this. You can go ahead and stand up. You can actually do more than you think you can. You can actually do more than you believe you can. You have power on the inside of you that can actually come forth, and you can see things that you have not seen before. And that goes for me too. That goes for me too. Okay, so repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me for being insensitive to you and having a hard heart. I purpose not to have a hard heart. I will obey you. I will hear you. And I will not harden my heart. Make me quick to believe and quick to obey. And let your goodness lead me to repentance when I need to change. Father God, I thank you because you are good. And help me remember all of your goodness. And remind me with Donnie's song about the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.